It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Allison Rivera. Allison's with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Washington, D.C. Allison, great to see you.
Happy to join you today.
Okay, it is a fun time in Washington, D.C., and especially if you like policy and trying to keep up with things that are constantly changing.
Absolutely.
And that's really in your wheelhouse right now, especially when we start talking about transportation issues, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's always a ton to talk about in the transportation space, whether you're talking ports, rail, trucking. We spend a lot more time on the trucking side of things, but all pieces have to kind of come together to get what we need, right? So for us right now, we're continuing to work on maintaining that electronic logging device delay for our livestock haulers through the appropriations process. We're seeing a little bit of movement through the approach season, so we're excited to continue to work to maintain that delay. That is a huge piece of our hours of service flexibility that we need to maintain. We also have seen some things come out of the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration on speed limiters, and so we have joined forces with some other groups out there to try to push back on adding speed limiters to our trucks on the road. You know, we have some of the best drivers in the industry. They know how to do it safely. They have to drive safely with live animals in the back that move around. And so we just feel like further regulations, adding on more restrictions and more regulations is not going to be beneficial to our industry when they're out there doing it safely. Less than 1% of the trucks on the road are livestock haulers, and they've got to have flexibility and they've got to be able to haul and haul safely. Putting speed limiters on the trucks is certainly not going to move in that direction of safety.
I'm going to pause here. Stay right there. Better. I'll try to stay out of the way. One of the other issues that we've kind of talked about as well is the struggle to make sure we have haulers there. And at one point, I think Chris Spear with the American Trucking Association was before Congress earlier this year and just said, we think we've got the right plan here to help get us where we want to go, but nothing happens quickly in this town. Would you agree?
Well, especially in the trucking space, I think the one thing that maybe all of us can agree is that training for anyone getting behind such a large vehicle is very important, right? But, you know, I think we've seen a lot of movement in trying to get more people into the trucking industry. And I think in order to do that, one of the things that might be helpful is to pull back some of the onerous regulations. And trying to make things maybe a little bit easier for that trucking life, if you will. I mean, our hauls are, especially in our industry, are long, and you don't necessarily get to go home at night. And on the other side of that, you have people who could drive for Amazon and go home every night. So you have to think kind of about all of these things and how do we entice people to get into this industry. We do have a truck driver shortage, and so we also need to be thinking outside the box about programs to get veterans into the trucking industry and to entice people to get into an industry that's not easy. It's not an easy lifestyle, and so, but we need them. They are so important to our overall supply chain, and we have to figure out how to grab more people and put them and put them behind trucks and make sure that they're well trained so that they feel well prepared to drive.
I have to admit, as you were describing that, you were really describing what a mother of a young child is like, and with a toddler or two at home as well. Because really, you cannot write regulations that can really help out a mother. It's a full-time job.
Right.
You could really tie these two together, can't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I mean, we want to have faith in these drivers that are hauling such precious cargo as these livestock that our producers have taken time and energy to care for and raise. And so, you know, these drivers are playing such an important role, and we want to respect the role that they have, much like motherhood. and we want to give them the tools that they need. We want to have them fully trained and feel like they're prepared, but at the same time, just piling regulations on them doesn't necessarily give them, you know, a feeling that we have confidence in what they're out there doing. And so we just want to make the environment as good as possible for them.
Speaking of environment, that's been a top topic around Washington, D.C. for quite a few years, and it works its way into something known as the Farm Bill, and obviously there are things like conservation through there. Quite a few titles. What are you watching right now in the Farm Bill debate?
So I think one of our main priorities is in the miscellaneous title. You know, we always comment that we don't need to create a new livestock title to take care of the priorities that we have here at NCBA. The miscellaneous title currently holds our animal health programs that we need to continue to support and fund through this next Farm Bill. We were able to create that three-legged stool, as we call it, with our FMD vaccine bank, our state preparedness dollars, and then support for the labs across the country that do the diagnostic testing. We need to make sure that we have funding for the three-legged stool moving forward. Those dollars are going to be hard to get a hold of this time around, just like they were last time. It's obviously a very interesting time here in D.C., but just reminding members of Congress not only that the animal health provisions are important, but the Farm Bill as a whole. That's another really big hurdle, I think, just getting the bill across the finish line.
And seeing what we've seen so far, at least from the House side, is there some concern? Because, rightfully so, we're a country with a lot of debt. How do we cut spending without cutting the food supply, if you will, the lifeline, if you will?
Right.
Obviously, that's going to be part of this debate.
You know, it really just comes down to where your priorities lie, and that comes down to individual members of Congress, right? We always say food security is national security, period, end of story. We have to be able to feed our population, and it's preferred if we can feed ourselves. These programs do cost money, but it's where you want to put those dollars, right? You know, I want to see the animal health provisions funded because that is the safety net for our producers from a foreign animal disease outbreak, which it's not if, but when. We have ASF right off the coast of Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic. We have foot and mouth disease in Indonesia right off the coast of Australia and our friends over there. I mean, these are real foreign animal diseases that our industries are very concerned about, and we want to have a strong vaccine bank and preparedness programs and labs to make sure that we are as prepared as we can be.
How important is it for producers, for cattlemen, cattlewomen, to actually, if you can, come to Washington, D.C., meet with your member or meet with your member in the district?
Absolutely.
Or pick up the phone, send an email? How important?
So it's so important that the House and the Senate have portals that they've opened up for this Farm Bill where you click on a link and you go in and you state your Farm Bill priorities. I mean, they want to hear from the countryside, from producers. I was just listening to the Farm Bill listening session that was held out in Oregon a couple weeks ago. These Farm Bill listening sessions are great because these members of Congress are coming to you, which is, you know, sometimes difficult. But they need to hear from the countryside. It's one thing to hear from me sitting here in D.C., but it is a whole nother ballgame to hear from producers on the ground with their hands in the dirt, making those comments to those members of Congress at their, you know, in those rooms. I mean, it is so important. D.C. is very much a bubble. We say that all the time. And while we here in this office do get out in the countryside and get out and talk to producers, these members of Congress love hearing it directly from the producers.
So good to see you. I do hope you find a nap or two along the way with the babies at home, but we wish you the best.
Thank you.
Allison Rivera is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C., and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.